we go. I'll be as quick as I can. I have no financial connections to this close. I want to be sure that in addition to the authors, we recognize the people who supported us, including many of the child care health consultants, such as Roberta Rose, Cynthia Wallace, Susanna Weber, and Laura Yu, who did the work on the ground, and that this project was supported by a grant from the Maternal and Child Health Bureau. You don't need to read these, and we'll just go right on to talking about the study itself, beginning with a little bit of the background, which you already know, which is 31% of America's children under 5 are cared for preschool children, but 26% of children 2 to 5 year old were overweight or at risk of overweight in this publication in 2006. And you've heard KNAPSAC referred to a number of times already. It stands for Nutrition and Physical Activity Self-Assessment for Child Care. It was developed at UNC Chapel Hill by Diane Ward and Sarah Benjamin. Sarah is one of our co-authors. The aim of this study is to evaluate KNAPSAC as implemented by child care health consultants in child care centers in 3 states, California, Connecticut, and North Carolina. We selected 18 licensed child care centers, 6 in each state, who served children 3 to 5 years old, who received a federal subsidy or participated in a food program for low-income children, and where providers spoke English. We matched those child care centers on size and proportion of children on subsidy, and then we randomly assigned them to either an intervention group or a control group. The intervention is KNAPSAC. KNAPSAC workshops were provided for child care providers, and you've heard Barbara refer to the self-assessments. The child care providers themselves choose the particular content areas that they want to have support, education, training, and feedback in, specifically in nutrition on the one hand and on physical activity on the other. The workshops that we provided to the intervention centers were about childhood obesity, about healthy eating for young children, about physical activity for young children, about personal health and wellness, and that addresses the child care staff's personal health and wellness, and lastly, working with families to promote healthy behaviors. We also had a workshop for parents on nutrition and physical activities. The intervention lasted for 6 to 7 months. Child care health consultants were the individuals who provided the services. Over the course of the 6 to 7 months, all of the centers who were in the intervention group got 78 minutes of consultation. That included 27 minutes of consultation off-site, an additional 27 minutes by phone and email, and they received 15 visits over the course of the 6 to 7 months. We measured descriptive statistics. We did independent sample t-tests to compare intervention and control groups. This was to help us determine which particular control variables we need to include in our models. We used ANOVA to compare characteristics by state, because the states, as it turned out, and you won't be surprised, differ very much. And lastly, we use regressions or paired t-tests to analyze changes from pre- to post-intervention with the control variables. So the last analyses are controlled models. We were looking for whether or not we could document changes in child care teacher knowledge and attitudes, parents' knowledge changes, child care center written policy changes, children's dietary intake changes, children's physical activity changes, and whether we could see a change in children's BMIs. And our results, this is just to give you an idea of the numbers in California, Connecticut, and North Carolina, how many centers we have. Well, we had 17 centers. Didn't he say that we had 18 centers? Or, you know, it's not like doing research in a laboratory. We went out into the field and we did our randomization and we discovered that after we did all of that, that 2 of the centers were owned by the same person. So they weren't independent. Fortunately, they were both in the same experimental group, so we just combined them. So 2 small centers turned out to count for 1 large center in this analysis. We had a total of 51 classrooms and a total of 551 families in the 3 states, which is a substantial number. As it turns out, not quite enough, but we'll get to that later. These are the potential confounding variables that we determined were significant and needed to be controlled for in our models. When we looked at the centers that we had, the 17 centers across the states, there were significant differences across states in the proportion of children who were subsidized, the number of rooms in the family's homes, this is a measure of family income, and then the education of the teachers in the centers differed significantly. When we looked at differences by treatment condition, in other words, comparing the experimental and the control groups, we found that the average time that children spent in quiet activity was significantly different. So we needed to control for that, since physical activity was one of our outcomes. Family income was different across the comparison of control groups. The ethnicity of caregivers, and that means parents, not teachers. So family ethnicities were different. I mean, there are more Asian people in Connecticut and more African-American people in North Carolina, and that's what you'd expect. But we had a control for that. The education levels of the caregivers were different according to experimental and control groups. And lastly, the number of rooms, again, that were in family homes were different. This looks a little busy, but I always focus right on the right-hand column. What's important here? Did we change provider knowledge through our workshops? In four of these five workshop categories, we did change their knowledge significantly, and the p-values are pretty substantial. Did we change parents' knowledge in our workshops for parents? Yes, we did. There was only one topic that we addressed in the workshops for parents, but we did find a significant change in parents' knowledge of nutrition and physical activity when we tested for it. What about attitudes? We have an instrument called Awareness and Concern. There was a significant change in teachers' awareness and concern. That is to say, I think nutrition is important. I'm concerned about children who are overweight. Questions like that did change significantly. Not for parents, however. And then we had an instrument to test the self-efficacy of teachers. You know, I think I can do something about childhood overweight in childcare. And yes, we found a significant improvement in those attitudes after our intervention. In terms of policies, we used Abby Alcon's health and safety in childcare checklists. Abby is one of our co-authors from University of California, San Francisco. And sure enough, zooming over to the right-hand column, we see that we did make some very significant changes in the written policies that we could measure in childcare centers before and after, both in physical activity and in nutrition. And I should say that all of our data were collected by objective observers, the people who went into the centers and looked at the policies and measured them. And these policies, by the way, are based on the second edition at the time of Caring for Our Children, that national resource on child care health and safety standards. We did see significant improvements over the course of the 6 to 7 months in the written policies in the intervention centers. Of course, there were no changes in the control centers. We didn't expect to find any, and we didn't look for any. Did BMIs change? When we went through the process, which, as you know, is agonizing and frustrating, of applying for money to do studies like this, we didn't include BMI measures as an outcome. We didn't think in 6 or 7 months that we would find a change in BMIs for an intervention of this nature. But the reviewers said that we had to do it, so we did it. In the next iteration of the application, when they funded us, we wound up, again, using an objective observer who didn't know the intervention status, the experimental group of the centers, did the heights and the weights, and we fortunately had a very clever statistician who could use all of that data, put it in a model with control variables. Lo and behold, it actually changed. It changed not quite significantly. One of my former students teases me because when I have a p-value of 0.1, I call it a tend. So it kind of tends in the direction of an improvement in BMI between intervention and control groups. And what we found fascinating, again, I'm going to kind of ask you to focus on the rows that's for overweight and for obese. And in this case, you'll see pre-knapsack intervention, the overweight group went up in the intervention group. Bad news, right? No, it isn't really bad, because look what happened in the obese group. The intervention obese group went down. We actually managed to move children from the obese group into the overweight group, which turns out to be a good outcome. So our conclusions are that we did find significant differences between states and between treatment and control conditions, which we had to control for. We did find significant changes in knowledge, both among parents and among teachers. We did find that we were able to improve teachers' attitudes and their sense that they could do something about obesity, nutrition, physical activity in childcare. We didn't find an attitude change in the parents, however. The intervention centers did significantly improve their written nutrition and physical activity policies to be more consistent with the National Health and Safety Standards from Caring for Our Children, second edition. We didn't find a significant change in children's physical activity. However, there were changes, but they weren't statistically significant. They didn't rise to the level of a 10. In the case of the BMI, we did find that intervention centers decreased the proportion of obese children, while at the same time they increased the proportion of overweight children. On the other hand, there was an increase in the proportion of obese children in the control centers and a decrease in the proportion of overweight children. It actually went in the opposite direction in the control centers over these 6 to 7 months. So it's possible, and it's only possible, I can't say we've proved anything, that during this NAFTAX intervention, obese children in the intervention centers shifted to the overweight category, while overweight children became more obese in control centers. We haven't analyzed the dietary observation data yet. They are so complicated. I mean, you know, like, how do you actually score a peanut butter sandwich? I mean, is that one food? Is that three foods? What's the difference between white bread and brown bread? And is it chunky or is it smooth? And is it, you know, is it, never mind. We're still working on that. And we also collected some qualitative data, which is not my thing, but fortunately Abby and Angela Crowley do like qualitative data, and we're in the process of analyzing those. But I can say anecdotally that the directors liked it. They liked the intervention, and when the intervention was over, we did the same intervention in the control centers. That was our ethical intervention afterwards. We didn't measure anything in the control centers, though. And that's all I have to say. So I hope it left a lot of time for questions for the three of us. Barbara, why don't you come up here?